Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You people just keep bugging me, asking me when I'm going to finish talking about these amendments. Well, now I'm going to finish talking about these amendments. I've already talked through 1 through 4. They're on the podcast page. You can find my view of what I plan to do in terms of voting for or against these various amendments. We'll finish up. I'll try to do both of these because they're both ones I don't have an awful lot to say about them. Amendment 5. Is the inflation adjustment for homestead property. And the short version of this is that you have a $25,000, you know, first cut homestead exemption on the taxable value of your home, and this would allow that to go up by the rate of inflation. So it'd be, you know, $25,008 and $25,023, and you know, it would be a reduction of your can't even say be a reduction of your taxes compared to what would otherwise happen. I guess it'd be a reduction of your property taxes. It's only on the first $25,000. It's not on the it is on both, but it's only on the non-school related portion. You know how like you get taxed to the county and you also get taxed to the school district. So this has to do with the county side, not the school side. I think there's some complexity here, but the short version is this would allow your homestead exemption to go up by the rate of inflation every year, so that your taxable value would be reduced by more if inflation is high. I suppose theoretically it could also be reduced by less if values went down, if inflation was negative, if it's deflationary, in which case I suppose you could lose some homestead exemption. That part's, again, not entirely clear, but that's been brought up a little bit. You know, that's the short version of it. I could read you the ballot language. It's actually a little. I will. Annual adjustments to the value of certain homestead exemptions. Proposing an amendment to the. Proposing an amendment to the state constitution to require an annual adjustment for inflation to the value of current or future homestead exemptions that apply solely to levies other than school district levies, and for which every person who has legal or equitable title to real estate and maintains thereon the permanent residence of the owner or another person legally or naturally dependent upon the owner is eligible, takes effect January 1st, 2025. A lot of language in there that probably doesn't mean much for you. The short version is this is designed to allow the homestead exemption to increase by the rate of inflation for only the county portion of what you pay, not for the school board portion. Thoughts? I'm conflicted on this one. And I'll tell you, the nature of my conflict goes as follows. Number one, all the Republicans voted for this one. And only a tiny, tiny number of Democrats voted for this one. So this is definitely an R versus D, okay, at least at the state level. That doesn't persuade me, though, and I'll tell you why. The advantage here is if you're going to do a homestead, it makes sense for the homestead to keep up with market shifts, you know, which is kind of what this is meant to do, because $25,000 becomes less and less significant of a reduction as the property value goes up and it doesn't keep up with inflation. I get that. That's the basic argument. $25,000 shouldn't be a chunk. $25,000 should be like a share of the value of the home or something like this should be your homestead. It's kind of the argument for it. And it seems like it's going to reduce property taxes, at least a tiny little bit. I'm not sure that it's actually going to reduce your property taxes very much. It's kind of small to begin with. Instead, it looks to me like it's a cost shift. Like what they're saying basically is that the county is going to lose money because whatever the taxpayers gain, the county loses, right? So it's the state coming in and acting like the, you know, the white knight to cut your property taxes or reduce the increase, if you want to think of it that way. But who's going to make up that difference? Is the county just going to be out money? How much money? If it's significant, how are they going to make that up? Are they going to raise your millage rate to make it up? Are they going to just deal with a loss of revenue? It's an unfunded mandate, in which case, it strikes me as the state legislature trying to look like they're tax cutters when what they're really doing is forcing the counties to pick up the tab for something that probably isn't going to matter much anyway for most people, is my theory about this. The other part of this that kind of bothers me is, I hate property taxes in general. I would love to see, there's a study supposed to go on that to figure out if we can get rid of property taxes entirely. God, I'd love that. I think they're completely unjustified. Like, they are really a version of government theft. You own your property as long as you pay the rent to the government, right? That's a property tax. As a result of hating property taxes, I also hate the homestead exemption. Not because as a homeowner I want to pay more, but because it's so silly. Why do you have a homestead exemption and not a rental exemption? Why? And the argument is that people who live in a home they own are going to take better care of it and be better for the community than renters. That's kind of biased anyway. But also, it's the way we play politics with the homestead exemption. We grant, you know, the military an exemption or disabled people an exemption or seniors. And just make the tax for people. All this nonsense about who doesn't pay for a thing, it drives me crazy. So it strikes me as just cheap politics, shifting money to the counties, and it's not going to likely be all that money for the individual anyway. In the aggregate for the county, it might be substantial. I'm voting no. Now, that puts me in an uncomfortable position of having to agree with the Democrats and disagree with all my Republican friends. But remember my basic principle. Vote no on every constitutional amendment by default unless you are dragged kicking and screaming into voting for it. And does it have to be done this way? This is actually one where if you're going to make this change, I guess you do have to do it at the constitution level. But is this some great, grand, pressing change that's been demanding for action all these years? And I would think no. So I'm a no on five. We'll do six coming up in just a moment. You want to take a commercial break? Like at the normal time, John? It was kind of weird, right?
That is very weird.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's do it. Let's just do it. Let it rip. Traffic on the fives.
All right. Got one accident to let you know about at 87 and Welcome Church Road. The road is open, but I just wanted you to know about that accident. Also, traffic's kind of lightened up on 98 eastbound as you head past the Windhaven Beach area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I did get a text in from somebody who says, over time, won't this be like a shift away from property taxes? I mean, maybe theoretically, but why not just do that? You know, that's the constitutional amendment that I want to see. Anyway, 616 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half-cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Looking for a sewing machine? Daryl's Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in Pensacola, with new machines starting at $249 and used machines starting at just $150. There are lots of machines to choose from under $500, plus sewing furniture, craft supplies, and fabric. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Carissa Burgos is running for school board to make sure our children are not harassed or bullied. A lifelong educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the school board during an emergency vacancy years ago, she ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated and our schools were much better then. Choose proven leadership. She's from here and will remain here.
Hi, I'm Carissa Burgos, asking for your vote on November 5th for school board District 4, and I approve this message.
News Radio 92.3 gets your live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Wendy, baby, I think you hurt my head real bad.
See, we won't forget where we came from. The city won't change us. We beat to the same drum.
I guess I gotta let this pay off, so okay, fine. Yeah. Didn't you always hate that growing up when the DJ wouldn't, you know, would talk over the intro also, but then, you know, bumper music and radio a lot of times, they don't let it finish to the part you're hoping for. You're like, ah! 620 on News Radio 92.3. I don't know if that's exactly the sound you make, but it is the sound I make. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines before I get to Proposition 6. David?
All right. Hold on one second. You're a little earlier than normal. I wasn't expecting
this. This is the scheduled time. I am never at the scheduled time.
This bus never runs on time.
Oh, man, that's so true.
All right. Here we go. I've got the headlines pulled up now.
I love the play-by-play of your own work. That's good.
I'm just being transparent.
I know. Here. I love it.
Don't expect to see Vice President Harris sitting down for an interview with Elon Musk. Mark Cuban says that that he has attempted to link the two together, but the Harris campaign says that they don't trust Musk would stick to the questions on the topic of the election. A former Louisville police officer back in court today, Brett Hankinson, being retried in connection with the botched raid on Breonna Taylor's apartment. That was back in 2020. Hankinson didn't fire the shot that killed Taylor, but he is accused of shooting blindly into her apartment. And nearly a dozen pro-Palestinian protesters are under arrest after demonstrations at the University of Minnesota this week. That happened on Monday. The protesters barricaded themselves in a hall on campus and blocked the entrance to the hall that houses the offices of the university president.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 622, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I told you I'd do amendment number 6 as well, and we'll podcast these so you can listen to them later. I will tell you that on amendment number 6, this is the public financing of statewide campaigns. I also find myself torn. But partially because I don't think I care all that much, but I'll tell you kind of what this one is. This is the idea, like right now, if you follow the rules as a candidate and the rules, it's not even follow the rules. If you agree to the limits constrained by receiving the public matching funds for your campaign and follow them, then you get matching funds from the state. You have to file a request for the funds. You have to agree by the expenditure limits, which are different depending on which office you're running for. It's a buck, $2 a person for per registered voter, $30 million for the governor candidates, and cabinet is $15 million. So if you're running a campaign for governor, you have to agree to spend less than $30 million or whatever the number is this year, but you know, it's $2 per registered voter. Or if you're running for agriculture commissioner, it's $15 million. Okay. So your campaign has to agree not to spend more than that. You also have to raise a certain amount yourself, not personal contributions. It's $150,000 for governor and $100,000 for cabinet. Okay. It's a limit of how much money you can give to your own campaign of $25,000 personally, and political parties, $250,000. And then as long as you do that, then you have to go through an audit. And as long as you do all that, you get matching funds. So let's say you're running for governor and you total aggregate raised, $29 million all the right way. The state would match you with $29 million. In theory, okay? That's how this is going to work. So it gets rid of public financing for campaigns. It would get rid of that provision, something that we tried to do before and failed to do. This isn't a lot of money, typically. If you want a history of it, in 2010, it was $6 million spent on public funds. In 2014, it was $4 million. In 2018, it was almost $10 million. And in 2022, it was $13 million. So the idea that you're going to have, you know, $100 million sucked up by public financing of campaigns has not historically been the case, because candidates who typically they make a lot, they generate a lot more than that, and they're going to spend a lot more than that, and therefore they don't take the money. They don't agree to the limits. Or they run a campaign for governor and they don't raise enough to qualify for matching, you know, kind of somewhere in between, or they don't want the audit or whatever. Okay, pros and cons on this. Let's start with the, I'm going to have to do this a little bit backwards. Like, why do we have public financing of campaigns to begin with? You kind of have to understand that before you understand what the rule is and why the amendment is to remove it. The argument for public financing of campaigns is you want to give an opportunity for less viable candidates to have a chance. You want more participation. You're always going to get, in Florida, most places, you're going to get Republicans. Most places, you're also going to get Democrats. Sometimes the Democrats are so hopelessly outnumbered that you want to give them a little bit of money to give them a chance to at least make it a contest. And where the Democrats outnumber the Republicans so greatly, you want to give the Republicans in those races a chance to make it a contest. The theory being that, you know, actual fights, actual political choices are more valuable than non-choices. Even if the non-choice really represents the overwhelming will of the people, the idea here is it's a little bit of political welfare in the interest of serving electoral competition and choice. That's the idea. Also, in, you know, non-major party candidates who might not otherwise be able to be competitive, this would give them a chance to at least get their voices heard. Maybe they get enough funding that they can buy some TV ads or radio ads and they can be heard in Pensacola or Miami or Orlando, someplace they might not normally be heard if they're a party challenger. That's kind of the argument for, okay, is it's for diversity, for competition, for having a real choice in these elections. I'll come back to, you know, the pro and con of whether this amendment is a good one in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about, not even any backups. 98 is looking good so far. Other than that, traffic's rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, there's also another argument on in this line is that, you know, only the wealthy will do well. Right, because the wealthy can afford to self-fund, okay, the well-connected. It's an idea of keeping, giving the less monetized people a chance in these elections is kind of the idea. Okay, so what we've got is that is in existence, and now this is to remove it, right? So all the pros become cons, right? All the arguments for having public financing are arguments against this amendment, which is, you know, why you have the opposition to it. Democrats are the ones who mostly believe in keeping this, so they are against the amendment to repeal it. And I hate to say it that way, but you know this gets confusing when you're talking about who's for and who's against. Democrats believe in public financing partially because they're Democrats and they believe in, you know, inclusivity and diversity, if you want to look at the top level. Underneath that, in Florida, Democrats are scared bleepless that they're going to have even less power. Because if public financing goes away entirely, then, you know, their ability to participate and to fight against Republicans who have a 2/3 to 3/4 majority in the state House, depending on Senator House, and have a stranglehold on Florida politics at the moment. So Democrats are in favor of anything that's going to help them break the stranglehold, they think, and therefore they're against getting rid of this. Likewise, on the flip side, Republicans who want to keep the power they have are against getting rid of something that would give Democrats, you know, they're in favor of getting rid of the thing that they think will benefit them, right? So Republicans who put this forward largely, although some, you know, one Democrat in each has actually voted for it, but almost entirely this is a Republicans are for getting rid of the public financing and Democrats again. Now, the argument, aside from just politics, the argument is why should people be paying for campaigns? You know, if campaigns are speech and if campaigns are, you know, a cost, then why should, you know, John Pickens, when he pays his sales taxes, why should John Pickens' sales tax go to fund somebody from Orlando running as a Democrat for the Commissioner of Agriculure? You know, that's an expense. That money could be going to pay for anything, you know, schools, you know, roads. Do we need roads? I mean, you know, that's $30 million or last year $13 million, that's money that could be spent on other important things. Of course, it's not that much money in the grand scheme of 110, I think, what, billion-dollar budget. You know, it's not that much money, not really. But still, that's the argument. And also, how dare you take money from person A to pay for the campaign of person B? Campaign of person B is running against the ideas of campaign of person A. You know, that seems like a violation, too. So here's the thing. We have public financing in place. Would I vote for public financing to start? I probably wouldn't vote for it to start. So do I want it to be repealed? I guess it's a weird place because I actually like the idea of what public financing is trying to do. I like that it's trying to create a more fair playing field where more voices can be heard, because right now, and whether you're Democrat or Republican, you want competition, I would think. And I'm a Republican, and my state is mostly Republican, at least in terms of leadership. I still want competition. My problem with public financing is, A, I don't like the philosophy of taking from A to pay for B's campaign. Second, it does seem like money that could be used for other things. And third, I don't think it's working. It's not making it happen. It doesn't seem like it really does much. And so I'm weirdly in the place where I advocate for getting rid of something, even though I'm kind of on the fence of it. What's my rule? Always vote no on... but this is, because I would be against voting for it in the first place. You see? Like, the chance to remove a thing that we don't really need, that I wouldn't have supported putting in place originally. So I'm a soft yes on Amendment 6. And if that's not too complicated for you, I'm sorry. Or if that is too complicated, I'm sorry. But I'm a soft yes. I don't know whether it'll pass or not, but that's where I land. I'll be voting yes on 6.
News. I'm Chris Foster. At one of three events campaigning with Vice President Harris, former House Republican Liz Cheney says this election is about right or wrong, not party.
If you're at all concerned, you can vote your conscience and not ever have to say a word to anybody. And there will be millions of Republicans who do that on November 5th, vote for Vice President Harris.
Cheney there in Michigan, former President Trump with faith leaders in North Carolina.
As I look back at my life's journey and events, I now recognize that it's been the hand of God leading me to where I am today.
He has events today in Miami and then back to North Carolina. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in Israel to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and others, his 11th trip to the Middle East since the Hamas-led attacks in Israel a year ago. No damage is reported in a Hezbollah missile attack on a military base near Tel Aviv, Israel, today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne right now. It is clear and 58 degrees in Pensacola. A 36-year-old woman is charged with attempted murder for allegedly instructing a 10-year-old on how to kill an infant child here in Escambia County. Deputies say Tara Sykes had been talking with the child on a Roblox video game and told them to drop the infant on the floor. The Gulf Coast Kids House contacted investigators last week after the infant suffered serious injuries in the fall. Investigators say they learned Sykes had been talking with the 10-year-old and given instructions for several ways to kill the infant child. Sykes had also allegedly told the 10-year-old to kill the adults they were living with in several ways. An investigation is still ongoing. The sheriff's office does say additional charges are possible. The FDLE says two Pensacola men are now facing child sex crime charges, 21-year-old Mason Radford and 52-year-old Ryan Traynor. Both are accused of sending messages to a person they believed to be a 14-year-old girl and soliciting them for sex. In both cases, those girls were actually undercover law enforcement officers. Both men have been booked into the Escambia County Jail. Radford is held on $475,000 bond. Traynor has since been released on $50,000 bond. Early voting is officially open in Escambia County. There's 10 locations available across the county.
You can go to any one of the 10, so whatever's most convenient for you.
That is Supervisor of Elections Robert Bender. He says voters can go to any of those locations because they use a ballot-on-demand system, which prints ballots as you arrive to vote. Bender says that system, though, is not used on Election Day as a fail-safe against electronic issues. Governor Ron DeSantis joining a group of doctors that are opposing Amendment 4 yesterday. He says the measure is deceptive and vague.
This is something that is really a Pandora's box for bad policies.
And DeSantis said he had several issues with Amendment 4, including that it would allow minors to get abortions without parental consent, allow non-physicians to perform abortions, and he believes it would eventually lead to taxpayer-funded abortions. He also said the push for Amendment 4 is being led by out-of-state groups that are not disclosing its true implications. Florida's gas supplies and prices have now stabilized after a spike in demand after Hurricane Milton. That, according to AAA, which reports the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.09 today. Mark Jenkins says conditions are much improved compared to this time last week. And Joseph Malinowski, also known as Lieutenant Dan, has been arrested in Tampa. The 54-year-old rose to internet fame on TikTok because of his decision to ride out Hurricanes Helene and Milton on a sailboat. Police have now arrested him on multiple charges, including failing to appear in court and trespassing in a city park after warning. Officers told Malinowski he was creating a health hazard because he didn't have an accessible marine sanitation device on his unregistered sailboat. It is 8:35 now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Even 98 through Windhaven Beach. I don't see any delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And taking a look at our weather, we are looking for another beautiful week here. Highs in the low 80s, lows down to about 50 each night. No rain in the forecast either. Right now, we've got 58 degrees in Pensacola, 64 in Gulf Breeze, and 52 in Milton. And your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Even amid concerns of weakness in the car market, things keep getting better for General Motors. The automaker easily outperformed expectations in the last quarter, beating predictions for both earnings and profit. That's led GM to boost its full-year earnings guidance for the third time this year. Shares of GM are up 1% pre-market on the news. You may have seen the headlines throughout the year as the prices for cocoa have nearly doubled, but that will not lead to sticker shock when you go to load up on Halloween candy. So says MarketWatch, which reports Hershey and other major chocolate producers have largely absorbed the steeper cocoa prices rather than pass them on to the consumer. On Wall Street, futures are lower, putting the S&P 500 on track for a second losing day. We'll get more earnings reports throughout the day from the likes of Verizon, 3M, and Lockheed Martin. Yesterday was a mixed day for stocks. The S&P dropped 10, but the NASDAQ gained 50. That's Your Money Now.
I'm Ashley Hoffberger. If you're ready for better investment of our taxpayer dollars, real transparency in local government, and putting our first responders first, I'm asking for your vote for Escambia County Commissioner. I'm proud to be supported by our brave firefighters, EMT, and law enforcement officers, those who protect us every day. I am ready to bring a new perspective, and I am committed to our community. I'm asking for you to vote Ashley Hoffberger for Escambia County Commissioner.
Paid for and approved by Ashley Hoffberger, Republican for Escambia County Commission.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, where you can meet up and wine all you want. Costello's has all your fall barbecue needs ready for pickup, from Wagyu tomahawks, Wagyu chuck steaks, to quarter pound colossal Wagyu hot dogs, briskets, pork butts, and so much more. At Costello's, you'll find all the best forehead sandwich meats and cheeses, plus everything ready from charcuterie board to chicken salad and the best dessert pies, all at Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli Fine Wine and Cheeses. Find them today at the corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive in Pensacola.
Everywhere you look, things are getting more expensive. So at Consumer Cellular, we're lowering the price for those 50 and up. Now you can get unlimited talk, text, and data for $30 a line when you buy two. That's just $60 a month for two unlimited lines. So if you're 50 and up, make the switch and save. Come on, you've earned this. Call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com today. Requires two lines of service, age validation, and credit approval. Subject to system and area limits, taxes, and other fees apply.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined, while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues for senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional. I'll fight for a free Florida and a low-tax Florida and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
There are approximately 5,000 media market radio stations in the country, and only one was recognized for excellence by winning the prestigious Marconi Award from the National Association of Broadcasters at a ceremony in New York City.
News Radio 92.3,
the Media Market Station of the Year. Thanks to you. This is Pensacola's news, weather, and traffic station.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 6:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, joins us typically after we have what they call the committee meeting in Santa Rosa County. The commission met yesterday. You would call it the agenda review in most other circumstances. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. All right, I want to start with this. I have a complaint. as a citizen slash media person. I don't get a lot of chance to talk about the great things that Escambia County board does, but I will say one thing that they do that I appreciate is the agenda. When I read the agenda online, it's pretty easy to tell just from the summary item. Is that something that I need to click on and read more about, or is that something that my listeners aren't going to care about and I don't need to know much more about that? When I read the agenda for y'all, it's very hard to tell from just the title whether I need to click. And so then I got to click and then I got to read and read and read. You know what I mean? And so it would be nice if it said more. But also, I thought I remembered that in the committee meetings in the past, again, kind of like an agenda review, even if it's a consent agenda item, it would be nice to have a, here's what this is, even just a one or two sentence kind of thing, because I always listen to the meetings and I would catch what's coming up. And so here I am this morning kind of feeling like I got to, you know, ask Brad, well, what's on the agenda? And you tell me. So is there any way we can improve those things for public information benefit / Andrew McKay asked for it?
Sure, Andrew. I mean, it's always our goal is to be as transparent as we can in Santa Rosa County. But I will tell you, we have been in discussions with the three members of the board that will be on, you know, when we do our reorg in November, along with the two well, one for sure coming in, and then the other still has an opponent. But there is a desire for us to go back to that where we're actually reading the items in the committee side, still in the regular meeting. If there's no questions, we'll move them to the consent agenda and try to be more efficient in that side. But in the committee side of that, yeah, we are looking to go back to reading each item to make sure that really just to be informational if people are watching online. And but that's something that's set by the chair, and I think there is momentum to change that starting in December with the new board.
Oh, well, great. Okay, because what I always think is, you know, I sometimes hear the complaint by elected officials, like, you know, the good items never get any media attention because there's no fire around them, there's no conflict, there's no controversy. And I always think, I understand. But I will report on the good stuff if I know what it is. So tell me what it is. You know, tell me the stuff that's happening. That's all. No, that's very good to hear. All right, fantastic. One thing that I did want to ask you about is, do we still have people deployed for – everybody's back, right? Or are they not back yet?
We still have a team that's probably got a week left down in the city of Holmes Beach. We sent 8 public works folks down there that – we didn't send any equipment. They asked just for some help running their equipment. You know, their folks were fatigued and needed a little break. So they probably have a week left, and they're down debris removal and some road work down in the city of Holmes Beach. But our incident management team did get back safely, and they were down in Bradenton Beach area for just over a week. So other than our public works team, everybody else is back.
Okay, but public works is still down there. So, okay, all right. That's, I didn't realize that, so that's worthwhile news to know about. Yesterday, there was a giant mess on Highway 98, not in Santa Rosa County. It was in Okaloosa County, connected to Hurlburt. FDOT told me that's supposed to go on all this week, although the traffic map this morning shows no problem. So maybe, fingers crossed, they thought better of it. But my question for you is, this was a major impact to your residents, right? People who live anywhere west, that it's Navarre, Holly, you know, even in Gulf Breeze or Tiger Point, that have to drive that way, especially if they work at Hurlburt or anywhere east of there. Did FDOT tell you about this? Do they warn you that, you know, because it doesn't seem like they warned anybody else, but do you guys get notification so that you can inform your citizens that, hey, this thing's coming and we'd like you to know about it in case you need to be working around it?
We do get weekly updates. Ours are primarily from Escambia, Santa Rosa. That's where the kind of the two that are connected. We do try to pay attention. And, of course, anybody who, whoever has to drive that, that's a painful drive in the morning. And, you know, we're working with DOT. We've met with the military. We're trying to resolve that issue along, talking access roads and alternate routes and things like that. The military has recognized that, and we started holding roundtables to see if we could get some federal support to, you know, because, you know, some of the missions out there at Hurlburt and Eglin are very time sensitive, and they need a rapid response to get our troops deployed in, you know, the different crises around the country, around the world. So
and that's what I was thinking about yesterday, as I'm thinking, okay, the folks from First South Special Operations Wing are headed over to run missions, maybe, but they can't get there because it's an hour and a half delay on Highway 98. You know, what do you tell all the people who don't work at the field, go a different way, let the airmen through? I mean, you know, I don't know the answer, but I was thinking about that yesterday, is, you know, whether any missions had to get scrubbed or pushed because of, you know, this traffic stuff. So FDOT does communicate with you. Maybe they could do better. Is that maybe a fair way to say it?
Yeah, and I'm going over to meet with them tomorrow afternoon, and I'll make a couple of recommendations on that. We're talking about some other projects. We're trying to get, you know, some momentum on, like, not only 98, but Highway 90 is just a pain point for Santa Rosa County going
right
through. You know, the choke point is really there in the city of Milton, but it goes all the way back to almost 87 South when it really gets bad.
No, agreed. And I think it's sort of similar to the first thing that I was raising with you about the, you know, information is, you know, thinking about what's life like for the consumer, and then how can we get the best information out to the consumer so that they get what they need. Brad Baker is a Santa Rosa County administrator. Brad, I always appreciate the time. Appreciate what you do. I know a lot of what you do is very, very important. It doesn't get a lot of appreciation. So I certainly pass along to your people and what I appreciate that they do, too. Brad, we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Have a good day.
You bet. 647 here on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Well, no accidents and no backups to let you know about. Everything is flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110. Just a minor delay if you're heading from downtown Milton to East Milton, but that's just expected through that industrial area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I just add one note to talking with Brad that maybe wasn't clear. One of the things that I have repeatedly encountered with Santa Rosa County that I appreciate about the administration and the board is I will ask about a thing and or suggest an idea, and I'll find out they're already working on that. Like, I don't know. That happens quite a bit. It particularly seems to happen with Colton Wright, where I'll call him with something or text him or something, and he's like, yeah, well, I'm already working on that. I'm like, oh, cool. Good to know, right? And same thing with Brad. Like, hey, can we make this improvement? Well, we're already working on that. Okay. Cool. All right. 648 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Flashlights? Check. Camp stove? Check. Canned goods? Check. Ice chests? Check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
With 0% financing on one of Volkswagen's most popular SUV crossovers, there's no better time to drive the VW Tiguan from Peterborough Imports. Get 0% APR for a full 60 months, plus an additional $500 of VW loyalty cash. And you'll be driving the 2024 Tiguan S for as low as $28,999. But if you'd rather forego the 0% APR, then take advantage of an additional discount for a low price of $27,499. And the 2025 Jetta S, Volkswagen's top-selling four-door sedan, is now available from a low $22,995. This month, the numbers are adding up to bigger savings from Peterborough Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Peterborough Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Special APR rate for qualified credit to BCI. Sale price before tag, tax, title, and dealer fee. Royalty discount for qualified VW owners. See dealer for details. Offer expires October 31st, 2024.
Gunnels! FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Hi, I am Jennifer Brer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. It has been my honor to uphold my campaign promise to listen, respond, and represent our concerns at City Hall. I am a fierce advocate for our community and being fiscally responsible with taxpayer money, and it is always taxpayer money. Please re-elect me on November 5th and let your voice continue to be heard. Paid for by re-elect Jennifer Brer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Lesson number one. Don't underestimate the other guy's greed.
Morning, 6:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, we're getting word that I guess on Sunday in New Mexico there was a civilian demonstration pilot in an air show that crashed. Charles Thomas Chuck Coleman, flying the two-seat extra, I'm going to mess up this pronunciation on purpose, Flugzeugbau, F-L-U-G-Z-E-U-G-B-A-U, EA-300 monoplane. And he crashed during the air show and died as a result of it. Nobody else was hurt. He's performed stunts at hundreds of air shows. And of course, we think about this as an air show community where, you know, these things, they don't always go right. Okay. It is a reality. We lose Blue Angels pilots, as we all know. We lose civilian pilots. It's, you know, something that's worth mentioning. He was apparently also one of the key people working on Top Gun Maverick that helped prepare the actors for flying in the F-18s. By taking them up in the air and, you know, getting them used to the, you know, the physiology of it, apparently. So I'm not able to find on the fly whether he's ever performed here. I didn't see that, and I may be wrong about that. I looked around at some of my, you know, familiar sources that I would look to see that. But so I don't know if he's ever flown here. But anyway, the whole air show community is very small, very tight-knit. And, you know, again, after losing two Growler pilots in the Navy, both of whom would have been here at various times, certainly the backseater, Lieutenant Commander would have been here training at Training Wing 6. And probably the lieutenant, the pilot trained at, you know, of course, went through knife, now we call it, or, you know, initial flight instruction, and maybe went to Whiting. So, and again, the military, you know, the naval aviation community is very, very small and very tight knit. And the Growler community in particular is a subgroup of the broader, you know, 18 platform community. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Election Day is just 2 weeks away now, and the presidential candidates are hitting key swing states. Vice President Harris made stops yesterday in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. Former President Trump apparently got the day off from McDonald's. He was in Asheville, North Carolina, and in Greensboro.
How do you get that sweet schedule? Work a day, rest a day?
I know, right? The Department of Education says about 8 million people who still owe on their student loans will be put in interest-free forbearance. Those who are eligible are enrolled in the Biden administration's SAVE plan. And apparently flesh-eating bacteria cases are on the rise after the recent hurricanes. That, according to state health officials who report several counties now, have seen a spike here in recent weeks. There have been about 74 cases so far this year.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:54 and a half here on you. Oh, I'm not quite ready for traffic yet. I want to. We're going to be doing giveaways for Pensacola Little Theater to see the POTUS performance. Looks like that should be very interesting. Also, it's Tuesday, therefore it's Bands on the Beach. Tonight's performance is going to be Wester is going to be performing. It's the second to last one. Not Quite Fab will be next Tuesday. So just two more Bands on the Beach performances for you. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents or no backups to let you know about. Wow, that's so nice to say after yesterday.
No kidding.
I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Even 98's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Yeah, so I had talked to FDOT yesterday night. Ian Satter told me, he's the public information officer for our district, and he told me that they were going to continue this work all this week, that it was resurfacing 98 and drain pipe replacement installation, and so that's why they had to close the lanes, because they had to rip up that portion of the pavement. But then I talked to my friend Marlena at Cat Country, and he said people going through there had not seen them this morning, like it had been back open maybe. And based on the map, either everybody's avoiding the area or it's just back open. But the work would need to be done at some point. I'm not sure when they're planning to do it. So I tell you what I know, and what I know is not a lot. Other than it was expected to be continuing all this week. Maybe they have found some other solution, or maybe they're doing it during off hours. Please, that would be the better idea if they could do it. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're buying or selling a home, you want to get somebody that's got outstanding expertise, experience that comes from doing it again and again and again. You know, I haven't asked her how many total homes she and her team have sold, but it's got to be right around 1,000 just by the per year number. You know, it was a couple hundred 2 years ago, 200 plus 30, I think, 175 last year, past 130 this year. Of course, that's in a market that, you know, a lot of people aren't doing transactions anymore. It's kind of slowed down. So still a lot of homes that they're selling all the time. And the reason I mention that is because you want good advice that's going to solve the problems, right? You know, there's always hiccups. Anytime you're selling or buying a home, there's always hiccups. You want people who are going to solve those problems, work their way around it, get you all the way through to the close. But also, you want to know what's normal. And normal comes through repetition. You know, is it normal for a buyer to ask you to replace the roof on a roof that's 8 years old? I don't know, but Christina Leavenworth does. And you might say, who would do that? Well, with insurance in Florida these days, you'd be surprised what people would ask. And sometimes that's the norm. You know, the water heater, the air conditioner, maybe the plumbing underneath the sink is rusty, and they don't think they can get home insurance for a home if you don't fix that. I mean, like, is that something you have to repair? Ask Christina Leavenworth. Don't ask me. That's why you want to get somebody who really knows what the market is doing, because that may be normal, it may be abnormal, but she'll know. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. What was the other thing that I was just going to... Oh, the Biden administration is now proposing a rule... I mean, Oprah's not the president, but it kind of feels like, and one for you, and one for you, and one, you know, it's like, how many different free things can they offer? The newest freebie that they're trying to offer is, and not technically a freebie, but it would be, is proposing a rule that would make contraception, both over-the-counter birth control and condoms, free to everybody. Well, free to women, anyway. I'm not sure why they think men wouldn't need the one, but okay, fine. So this would, and it's not that the Biden administration is going to provide it. It would require health insurance companies cover over-the-counter contraceptives, such as condoms, spermicide, emergency contraception. That's plan B. So that's depending on your view, that's a very, very early abortion. Or maybe you think that's not, but you know, that's what that is. Without a prescription and at no cost. So free across... You know, the interesting thing about this is the religious objections that some people have and meddling in the marketplace, right? There's so much meddling in the marketplace where the government tells you what you can and cannot and what you must provide for in terms of health insurance. And I don't know, as a free market guy, as a conservative, I just tend to think, hey, let the companies provide what they want to provide. Of course, going back as far as Obamacare, you know, the government is going to force you to get the better plan that costs too much and doesn't provide as much protection because of reasons. Oh my God, I think about the cost of health insurance all the time in Obamacare and all the money. We've never had to use it for major costs. And what I have always said is just give me a plan where I can get like a $5,000 deductible and just have to deal with major expenses. Can't do it. Won't let you. Not available. That's the one I want. No, sorry. You're going to get the better plan. It's not a better plan for me. Anyway, so religious objections to both contraception and early term abortifacients, but by a mandate from the federal government, maybe.